Gertrude Meany, Reel 2. So, Gertrude, could I ask you now about your own life at this time? You know, when you were growing up, did you go to university or did you get some work? You know, what happened to you?
So, to me it was that I went to the lyceum. My happiest life was my home life, and my first thing I liked to go to the school, because I still hope I go up to the sixth class and will go then to the university. And my wish in my youth was always, I always wished to get a doctor for children. A children's doctor. It was my love to children. Must have been so big that was always my wish. But, so it didn't come so far. And but my, how should I say, from school on, we went riding. And that, of course, got my school, I was very proud that I got properly through, you know, that I got over the exams and that I was quite a good pupil in school. And my hope was, after this school I will go to the university. That was my ideal idea. But my hobby was, in school, we start to ride, and that a horse got to me an ideal, and I told it to father always the day when riding horse, and we got already then riding trousers and real riding in lady's seat and in man's seat, you know. And that was my ideal sport, you know. That was really my ideal. And for my 21st birthday, my father bought me a horse. He, in his house, arranged a stable for this horse because it was not at home. Well, and every morning I had to walk. It wasn't a long walk. To fetch the horse, and when nearby we had a horse, a school, a riding school, so there I started. And that I never forgot. Oh, I started to love the horse. Cleveland was his name of my horse, what my father bought it. So you can imagine, I loved the horse, how I adored.
So, you were a young girl at this time. Did you have another, were you meeting boyfriends? Did you have boyfriends?
In riding school, my oldest friend then got to, at the end of his of my life, got my friend. And that was a wonderful friendship. And it was really based on it. And he absolutely... It's been wonderful because he had a horse in the same stable, in the riding school, and we met every morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, and went out generally with the teacher, very out into the country with the horse. And that was a wonderful time.
Did you ever experience at this time, Gertrude, any anti-Semitism? Was, you know, there any move against Jewish people? Did you experience?
Well, it really was. My father had in the synagogue a special honor and seat in the room. And my mother had a seat next to the rabbi's wife. And my grandmother as well. So my grandmother went every Saturday morning to the service. And my mother, when she had time, went as well. My father went generally to the synagogue on Friday evening.
Did you ever experience any anti-Semitism?
Yes, a lot. A lot in our hometown. You know, my hometown was a Hungarian, Austrian factory center, a town where all the production were factories for, like my father later on had produced leather. There was the best wool material all over Austria came from Brünn, from the factory. That were all our friends. That was a close, with my father and mother, also a close circle. That everybody was working, and nearly all started, either only from father's side or alone, because my father started it alone. And that's what and they were very much together. And Friday evening, generally, many of those men went to the synagogue and met there.
But could you tell me about
theater we went there?
Yes. Any anti-Semitism? Were there?
Yes.
Could you tell me what you experienced?
In school, we had one part in my class. When we were in the whole class about 30 girls, and we were three or four Jewish girls, and the other one not. And whatever they were between us, you know, was a society between children. We four, the Jewish girl, were cut out. You are Jewish, go. Nothing to do with you. And once a week, we had the Jewish rabbi as a teacher who was teaching, and he helped us really to keep up. He made us proud of ourselves and helped us that we ignore all this. But we all four, and I one day will show you, I have got even a photography of the four girls after the war. I got this photography from a girl who emigrated already before the war. I took the photos where we four girls were the Jewish girls with my sister and how should I say, we had a complex in it, because whatever, we are going to the theater, not with the Jewish girls. You know, it was very, very, but that was basically also a way that I never, after concentration, wanted to go back, because I thought there will be the same again. Because all the Jewish people in my hometown worked themselves up that they were productions, they had all factories. Because they did it alone, they had the wool material factory, the leather factory, the whatever, handbag factory, everything was in our town. Industrial it was. And later on, of course, then the Jewish young men were not allowed to go to the university. No. A Jew was not allowed to go to the university, so they couldn't study, and it was always their wish. Because, in this time, I don't know how it is nowadays, that one says the Jewish people are natural intelligent. But they were not allowed to study, so that you can imagine between the young boys that they were unhappy. We can't get a doctor, we can't get a... nothing on a purpose, on a... Well, to learn, we were not allowed. No study. So that's how they all got businessmen. They had to, you know. And then one always said, oh, the Jews are only businessmen. So I haven't got an idea how it, for instance, was in England. In Austria was just as bad. And there, although, well, certain days in Vienna, Jews were not allowed to go to the theater. It was quite official. When you are a Jew, you are not allowed to go to the theater. Into the concert hall, also. Well, and I remember there was a very famous tenor in the opera. And he fell in love with a Jewish girl. And he was one of the best tenor in this time. But he was told, because that came from the girl, if he is getting married to her, thrown out of the opera. So it was the anti-Semitism, basically, fairly big.
Do you remember hearing about the rise of Hitler and how that affected your family?
Well, no, it was everything. Look, for instance, the factory of my father, and all his home, because that was in the time when my mother suddenly died. That's the secretary my father had, and he had it about over 20 years. Took, I told you, she had the key of the safe of mother, and from father she did know everything. So she said, well, your key, he had such a big iron cash, you know, where important, where money and important books were, the business books. She said, give me the books that I ordered you to. He had to give her the key of the business. The business was straight away, when Hitler came, scratched out of the name of my father and her ownership of father's business. Straight away. After the war, when I got to know it, my first thing I did, to go to the police and want to fetch her, because she killed my father. But she was not found. So she was certainly in this time gone, out of the country, and very German. And that was it. So you haven't had, except Anna. Anna was dying for us, really. Except her, and her husband, Mach was his name, who was a hunched man. They were, how should I say, would have done everything, because, as I say, Anna tried to get, I got some jewelry, which I got after. Partly I have a little bit in the bank, but partly about 2 months ago I had stolen all my my jewelry out of my bedroom here. But look, the fact doesn't, it was only the memory to it was important, otherwise it's not important to me.
Would you have been aware of political events, you know, in 1938, when Hitler took the Sudetenland?
Yeah.
Do you remember that, when the Sudetenland was taken?
Then I was already married, quite young married. My first husband, Dr. Erwin Karpeles was his name. He was doctor of economy and doctor of law. and he was my ideal of the world. And the matter was that he came, because then I was married to him in Vienna, and lived in Vienna, because his room was in Vienna. He said, now let's go to Father, because he knew exactly how Father is going to do and so on. Let's go and see him, and I will help him to arrange it, when he is very excited, to get mostly his check money to Switzerland. Because that was, in this time as well, the only international country. Well, he came and he said, Erwin, no, I won't let the top of the, our country, Benesch was his name in this year at the time, because he got always via him all his orders in business. I'm not going to let him down. Nothing will happen. That was already in Austria, you know. Nothing will happen, can't happen in Czechoslovakia. Because Benesch won't go. And one day came that it was told, Benesch went, he went to England. And there he was. And my father had to die. My father hadn't, he could get quite easily going out of the country. And he said to my young husband, who said, look, Switzerland is the best country. But if you would want to go to England, we always, we go, because I, Trudy wants to stay with you. She doesn't want to go. I didn't want to go with my young man and to leave my father. That was, to me, perhaps my big mistake, because he said, I don't want to leave her. And if she doesn't go, then I need to stay with her. And that's how we get together went to concentration camp. And he always said we should have gone with father. And he always thought that he was not strong enough to my father to persuade him. Because my father was adoring his own country and the president. Oh gosh, President Benesch was this, the king in his life. Because he always was in contact with him, with all what he did, what he started, and what he, via the government, got a big production man. He did it all along, but via Benesch, he always said. Only President Benesch helped him. So, and that's how I stayed with him. And Lily, my sister, had a little girl. That was also a catastrophe of a man. She got married to a man named Robert Stern. She got a baby. They had a lovely home. My father bought them a house in the villa center of the town. And but it was also coming all out, this husband of my sister was a very nasty man. On all the corners he had girlfriends. And was nice and kind and how should I say, my father helped him a lot. And then he said, look, now father, I tell you things, for Lily and for the child, for Inge, I should think you should start to give them money that they could go to France. So my husband said, my father said, yes, all right. He said, you give me the money, on my name it will be transferred, because he somehow could do it. Why at this time, I don't know how, or that I forgot and didn't perhaps know it either. So it's just money. I go with his money to France, to Paris, to this and this bank. I let you the name of the bank, which already I chosen and arranged already. And then, when everything is arranged, and Lily and Ingeborg, they should be wrapped, packed up, and come to Paris. And then we will see what we do. But father's money must be there. When he was in Paris, so it all happened. And my sister with a little girl was waiting with wrapped up suitcases, you know, to go to Paris and to wait until he, because they are from France, she could only go to France by visa, that is on the passport, and that he could only do in France. Well, nothing came. Then my father in the family was one, not related, but from the parents on, a very big friendship relationship was to this family who were Catholic. And the young boy, the younger one, who was in my husband's age and in Robert's age. He was more or less a friend of the family as well, with other boys and other girls and so on, in social. And he was Catholic. And he said to my father, if Robbie doesn't do anything, what do you think about it? I can travel as Catholic to Paris, can take a ticket, and we'll see what's happening, and come back in 3 days. So that was Fred was his name. So he came back. And he said, Father, there is no help. He is living in one of the best hotels, gets girlfriends every evening, and all the money he has got, he's spending with relationship to pay girls. And he, can you imagine? I think that nowadays doesn't exist. And you know, he was the son of a doctor. He was of best education. But he was only from one girl to the other. And later on it came home that he did it at home as well. Because then, after Hitler came already, and he was already out in the military check, time, he went to France and, you know, working as a for the best. And, at this time, it was so that my sister was lost with a child. Because this friend, you know, who was Catholic and knew all about it, could go there and back all the time. And he went at it 2 or 3 times to find out. So when he came the second or third time home, then my father said, do you want to be divorced from Robbie to my sister with a child? I don't want that the child has got, if you want to, that the child has got his father. And my sister said yes, and so she got divorced. And living there, and she went and with a child in concentration camp. But she was very unhappy, very, very, because Well, he was like in his time, it was quite natural. He was the first man in her life whom she married. Like I did not marry Carver. It was the first man in my life.
Do you remember when the Germans came into Czechoslovakia in March 1939?
Yes.
Where were you then, Gertrude?
Then I was in Vienna. And then, just when they came to Vienna, my father wanted that we come to Czechoslovakia to him, to live in his him, because he said to Czechoslovakia, never Hitler will come. And that's what we did. And that's where we lost all of our... And he didn't want that Lily with a child go somewhere else. So my father kept us together, because my mother had to die. I told you how my mother died, yes? Yes. That she opened the safe of the jewelry, fell down and was dead.
So, when you went, when Hitler...
Then much later, I always felt it was wonderful for Mother. It was just the day before Hitler came to Czechoslovakia, when he was already on the way, you know, and where the secretary... Gosh, I wish she would live and I would find her. But it is impossible. She certainly, she was in a way... Her mother language was always German, not Czech, although she was a Czech secretary with my father, but, well, never after the war I could find anything to... I also haven't had, which I remember then I thought I should go to a lawyer and a lawyer, but then I didn't have some money after the war.
How did things change for you when the Germans came into Czechoslovakia? You would have been at home then, you say?
Yes, I was at home, and my father then, after, I don't know, days or weeks, that I don't know, said the best thing is, you know, my hometown was the nearest to Austria, where Hitler was first. So they came, Hitler came first to my hometown before he came to Bohemia. That was much Moravia, the nearest to Austria. So my father said, well, come home. And when we were home, my first husband didn't believe it at all, but he only did it because he said, I don't leave you alone. So that was the rest of my life, that he only died for me because he didn't want to let me alone. Because he always thought he will find a way out still for me, because my father didn't. My father was a patriot for the country, and that was all. And that, of course, so if you would want to ask me another question, perhaps I talk too much.